just 20 minutes. So inshallah al-Aziz, let us fire up with the fire of the Q&A, inshallah al-Aziz.
Mufti Sahab, who are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I was explaining that question, and then there were problems last night, and we apologized last night. We apologize again. May Almighty Allah forgive us for our sins, and may Almighty Allah make easy for us, and always that we promote the truth without fear and favor. Who are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? This term is derived from the verse in Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12. And verse number 108, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Say, O Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way and my path. I invite towards Almighty Allah jalla wa la, ala basiratin, with firm conviction, with knowledge. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that is sunnah. Wa man ittaba'ani, and those who follow me immaculately. So the first people to follow the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the beloved sahaba. So sunnah wal jama'ah is derived from that word, those words there. And then me and you who follow the master, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sahaba, we become ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. So remember that. Therefore, we say Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I was sitting there by the Baytullah Kaaba Musharrafa, and in 2018, and looking and admiring the Baytullah Kaaba Musharrafa, 2018, with the barakah, mercy of Almighty Allah, wasila of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the capital group, Allah Ta'ala reward them, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and his family, that they came on board, and in April we started broadcasting 2018. So I went for Umrah or Hajj, and I was looking at the Baytullah, and then that, you know, you get inspiration from Allah, Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes. You say Markaz Sahaba, so it, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Sahaba and Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it rhymes also. So that is how Alhamdulillah we started. Then what does it refer to? So it refers to those people who believe in the Quran Sharif unconditionally, unreservedly, even if they don't, it doesn't make logic to them, it is supra-logical, beyond their logic, yet we believe in it. Two, those people who believe in the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and remember you will find this in the kitabs, you know, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and so forth and so on. So that are the Sunnah Mubarakah. Then we believe every Sahabi, every companion, male, female, adult and child, is going to Jannat al-Firdaus, and that is enshrined in the Noble Quran, chapter 57, verse number 10, وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. That is our big problem with the Shias. The Shias are swearing, cursing Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Mother Aisha, Mother Hafsa radiallahu anhu majma'in, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and many, many others. So remember that we say Khomeini la'natullahi alayh. Allah's curse be upon Khomeini and his ilk. That is the teaching of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Idha ra'aytumul ladhina yasubbuna ashabi. When you see those people who are cursing, swearing the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam companion, فقولوا, then you, the true believers, say La'anatullahi ala sharrikum, that Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon you for the evil you are perpetrating. The hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi and in Tabarani, Sahih authentic hadith, Man sabba ashabi, who criticizes, castigates my companions, fa alayhi la'anatullah wal malaika wal nasi ajma'in. Allah's curse, the people's curse, the angels' curses on him. Today you get many people that they are not Shia, but they are sympathizers of the Shia. So we must condemn them and never allow them to give lectures and so forth in our mosque. Because why? If somebody is swearing your parents day and night, and somebody else becomes his best friend, will you love that person? Obviously you will love. So our parents, what? They are the ordinary people. Thus we are speaking about the wives and spouses of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Nisa al-Nabi, lastunnaka ahadim minan Nisa. You are not like the other women and other people on this earth. You are the best of the best. So we need to understand the sympathizers of Shias are also criminals, and we need to name them and shame them as well. So therefore, that is our Sahaba. Then we come to the Awliyaullah. Chapter 10, Surah Yunus. Go read verses 62, 63, 64, 65. Allah, inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. So we believe in the Awliyaullah. The greatest Awliyaullah are Sahaba, Tabi'in, and so forth and so on. Every Muslim country you go to, you will find. And in non-Muslim countries, many of them, you must remember that. Then thereafter, we follow the four schools. So Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, Sahaba, Awliyaullah, and we follow the four schools of jurisprudence. On top of the Salafi school, you have Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Rahimahullah. Then you have his celebrated student, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah. And thereafter, remember, you have his student, Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, Ibn Qayyim's student. Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali wrote a book, and which I have, Ar-Raddu Ala Man Ittaba'a Ghayr Al-Madhaib Al-Arba'a, a refutation of those people who follow anybody else beside the four schools. So therefore, you Salafis and others need to wake up a bit. You don't even know what Ibn Taymiyyah said, what Ibn Qayyim said, or what Ibn Qayyim's student Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali said. So therefore, to follow and become part of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, thus are the following: Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, Sahaba. We have to protect the honor and dignity of Sahaba. Namus-e Sahaba ka tahaffuz karna farz aur wajib hai. To defend the honor of Sahaba is mandatory and compulsory. And the Awliyaullah, the special servants of Almighty Allah, and then the four schools of jurisprudence. So that in a nutshell is the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Mufti Saab, there's a thing going around where they are saying that women are not allowed to show their feet when reading namaz.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this issue in the Noble Quran, chapter 24, Surah Nur, verse 31. Therefore, our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, used to say, Allimu nisa'akum surat al-Nur. Go open Rawaiul Bayan fi Ahkamil Quran of our Honorable Ustad Muhammad Ali Sabuni, Rahimahullah, buried in Istanbul. You will see he quotes there several places. In his work, you must remember Tanwirul Adhan, in four volumes, he gave that to me. And there in Makkah Mukarrama, and there we see, وَكَتَبَ Umar إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْإِرَاقِ. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote a letter to the people of Iraq, and he used the same words, عَلِّمُوا نِسَاكُمْ سُورَةَ النُّورِ. They teach the people Surah Nur, chapter 24, comprising 64 verses, because there are so many social issues here. So we are discussing the feet of the ladies. So what does Almighty Allah say? Chapter 24 and verse number 31, وَلَا يَدْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُؤْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. And you, the ladies, you should not be stamping your feet and making noise. They walk with big, big high heels, tuk, 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 making a big racket and a big noise. So that is not permissible. لِيُؤْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ. Now you are exposing the beauty of your feet and so forth. مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. Allah Ta'ala called the feet the zina and the beauty. So therefore, the Shafi'is, Maliki's, humbly say, it is compulsory upon the lady when she performs Salat, when she leaves her home, she's going to the hospital, or she's going somewhere that is permissible, So remember that she must cover her feet and with the socks or stockings and so forth. So chapter number 24, verse number 31. The Hanafi say is mustahab and better, but not compulsory. And remember, you, the ladies who are going for Umrah and so forth, then you should cover, even if you're a Hanafi lady. Imagine you're right at the most sacred place and people are touching your toes and your heels and your feet. The sin is on you, my sister, and it becomes a major, major sin. Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter 22, Surah Hajj, verse 25, verse number 25, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Whosoever makes intention of deviation and transgression and oppression, we will unleash a painful punishment for such a person. So better cover up, ladies, even you, the Hanafis, that's the best thing to do.
Mufti Saab, my daughter is 16 years old. She met a boy and wants to get married. I refused her permission as I believe she's too young. Now she wants to elope. What do I do?
Remember that in a case like this, we should look back a little bit in our history. MashaAllah, Allah Jalla wa Ala blessed you with a wonderful daughter. Surah chapter 42, verse number 49, and we see Almighty Allah speaks of the children. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. Allah gave as a present, as a gift to you, the married couple, a daughter. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned daughters first. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّمَ الْإِنَاثَ عَلَى الذُّكُورِ. Allah has mentioned the daughter first. This is tafa'ul, a good omen and a good sign for that particular family. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. Allah gives a gift that He gives you sons and boys as well. How did we nurture them, coach them, train them? It can't happen that she just defies you and says, I will elope and so forth. That our parenting was not done the proper manner. We did some, but some things we left out. So you have to bring in the ulama, and you have to bring in the elders of the family, and tell her every minute, every moment, she'll be cursed by Almighty Allah when she elopes and so forth. And all the perks you are giving her, take everything away. Her phone and her computer and everything else. As a father, that is your duty. Chapter 66, verse number 6. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu قو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. Ey iman walo, O you who believe, save yourself and your children and progeny from the fire. So that is what we need to understand, and that is what is compulsory upon us to do. And we must ask ourselves, how come we gave so much money, so much freedom and so forth to our children, that they rebel against us and they defy us? And you, my daughters and my sisters, remember that, like in this case here, our fatwa and verdict will be what Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la nikaha illa bi waliyin. The nikah will not be valid without the permission and consent of the guardian, the biological father. That nikah will be null and void and so forth and so on. So that will be the fatwa, and you must take the blessings of your parents and especially your father before you enter matrimony, my beloved daughters and sisters in Islam.
Mufti Saab, a boy is 21 years old, needs to write a will that who inherits shares. He leaves behind a father, mother, a sister, they share a father, two sisters, he shares a mother. Jazakallah, how would this estate be divided?
No, just to go through the heirs again. So there is a father and a mother, and there's no wife and children.
G, there's no wife and children, G. Okay. He's not married yet.
Right. So in a case like that, remember the golden rule of miras, the Islamic law of succession, the Islamic law of inheritance. So in a case like that, remember, is straightforward. 5/6 will go to the father and 1/6 will go to the mother of the deceased. So you must remember that. So why? You who don't understand inheritance, understand these two principles. Once you have the deceased father, then all the siblings of the deceased are deprived. So that's one. Second one is this: once you have a biological son of the deceased, then all the siblings, brothers, sisters are deprived. Either father comes or son comes or both come, then all siblings are deprived. The mother's share, how do you determine, especially in a case like this, it's 1/6 in the wujudil walad. So once the deceased is survived by her son or daughter, her own son or own daughter, or in the wujudi ta'addud. So once they are the deceased brothers, sisters, so two or more, male or female, whether it is full brothers, half brothers, consanguine, uterine, so whatever it is, so then the mother's share will be 1/6. So simple answer: after the burial, funeral expenses, the deaths of the deceased, and what that person, the deceased, had bequeathed to non-heirs, a person, organization, even a non-Muslim, maximum 1/3 for the beneficiaries. So all that must be implemented. Then comes the shares of the heirs, 5/6 for the biological father and 1/6 for the biological mother. Simple it is, and that is how. And all the brothers, sisters, whether they are full or half, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun, you receive nothing. And unless that person made wasiyah for you and bequeathed for you, so you keep on making dua for your sibling. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established.
Mufti Saab, the doctor has prescribed thyroid medication for me. However, it contains gelatin and it's manufactured in Germany. All thyroid medication seems to have the same ingredient. Is it permissible to take this medication?
One should take cognizance of the following. I have mentioned this on several occasions, but no problem, we repeat it. All gelatin is permissible, whether it comes from halal animals that are slaughtered in the prescribed manner, or it was not slaughtered in the prescribed manner. The fatwa and verdict is all permissible except the swine. The khinzir, so that is najasul ayn, so bumper to bumper, top to bottom, side to side, everything of it is najis, impure. So the gelatin of a swine, of a pig, that will be haram. But everything else will be permissible, and especially where you are taking it for Allah sabili tadawi, for medical purposes, so totally permissible. Those ulama who say, and we love them and respect them, some of them our teachers, like Mona A.S. Desai of Majlis and so forth, so they say that the gelatin must be of halal animals and slaughtered in the halal manner. So that we say is ihtiyat, precaution and taqwa. But fatwa point of view, what I just said now is permissible. So you continue taking that medicine for your thyroid and what have you, provided that the gelatin is not made of the khinzir and the swine.
Mufti Saab, what is the masla regarding salah on the plane again?
Regarding salat on the plane, that we used to read salat always on the plane when we used to travel, mashallah, and on the air, especially on Emirates and so forth. So they will just tell them it's time for prayer, we want to read. As long as they are not feeding or as long as there's no turbulence, they allow you. So you go there where the emergency exits are, and then they give you the blanket and so forth. You stand and face Qibla and you read your salat. Sometimes I have to make jamaat with my wife also whilst we are flying and airborne, with Allah's help and Allah's mercy. So all that used to happen. Now sometimes you want to read salat, but they tell you no, they're not allowing you. Then you read on your seat and you won't be facing Qibla in most instances. So ihtiraman lil waqt, to show respect to the time of Salat, so you read your Salat. So once you have read sitting or you have not faced Qibla, then when you reach your destination, that Salat there, the two rakats of Fajr or two Zuhr, two Asr or three rakats of Maghrib or two of Isha, then you have to repeat it, you must remember. And Hanafi scholars only say, even though you are a Musafir traveler, you must read and perform the Witr Salat as well. So that is the fatwa we should remember. Last question, Maulana.
Mufti Sahab, there's someone interested in renting my shop for an admin office for Dream Lotto Company. They are a lotto company, but said the office will only be for admin work. They won't have customers coming in. Is it okay?
Not okay. Why is it not permissible? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala showed us the golden maxim and golden rule in the noble Quran, chapter 5, verse number 2. And Almighty Allah says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. You must assist and help one another in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate and assist one another in sin and transgression. Although clientele will not be coming there, but the admin, from where they're going to get their wages and all that, from the lotto, tatama chance, tatama million, and all that, remember, absolutely haram, not permissible. Anything to do with interest, anything to do with gambling and so forth, Quran Kareem tells us clearly, explicitly, is haram. May Almighty Allah protect us from all these vices. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.